This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In these tough times, when everyone is talking about this coronavirus, and everyone is becoming an expert, those who have watched a couple of videos and read a couple of articles, they think they have the answer to the coronavirus and how to handle it. There are people who go a step further and they think they know where it came from. And they know the conspiracy that put it together. And they know where all of this is leading to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, as he was talking about the signs of the hour, the things that are, that will become prevalent and widespread towards the nearness of the day of judgment, towards the end of times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَيَفْشُ الْقَلَمْ وَيَقِلُّ الْعِلْمْ أَوْ وَيَكْثُرُ الْجَهْلِ. Towards the end of times, literacy will become widespread. People will be able to read and write to the point that illiteracy or inability to read or write will be wiped out. People will be educated. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is the irony, ignorance will be prevalent. And knowledge will be limited. Why? Because people will have access to information, but not necessarily access to the truth. And today, we're faced with an influx and so much information spreading around with amazing fluidity to the point that it's hard to know what the truth really is. And the situation with the virus today has exposed this weakness in humanity. That people speak without knowledge. People speak with speculation and conjecture and baseless information. And there are people who think they know the root of the matter. There are people who all they speak about that this is part of the conspiracy against the world and to control the world and so on and so forth. No evidence, no solid knowledge. And no one has control over this knowledge, this knowledge that is spreading around. But in Islam, we are not left for lack of knowledge. We are not left for all of this confusion. And here again, this coronavirus sort of brings us back to our senses. There are so many things that we can learn from it. There are so many benefits. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every hardship, there is ease. Meaning with everything that is bad, there is good that comes with it. With every calamity and adversity, there is lessons and benefits and opportunities. That's how this life is designed. There is no pure evil that's going to hit humanity. And there is no pure goodness that is going to hit humanity. It's always a mixture. So the believer, generally speaking, seeks the good in every evil. And is aware and vigilant of every evil that is in every good. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes it clear in the hadith where he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يَقْضِ اللَّهُ لِعَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ قَضَاءً إِلَّا كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. By the one in whose hand my soul is, my life is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only decrees for a believing servant what is good for him or her. So everything that happens in this world, as long as we believe in Allah and the last day, it is going to end up being good for us. Even if it's a loss of a life, or loss of health, or loss of finances, or any kind of detriment, it is going to ultimately be good for us as long as we put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning of things is not carved in stone. Things are open to interpretation. Diseases, illnesses, calamities, hardships, blessings, fortunes. They don't have a final meaning. All of that is contingent upon whether we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust in Him or not. And that this puts our hearts at rest. This makes us always, always on the right side of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of what happens. It could be painful and it could be pleasant. And as we last week spoke about the plague that hit the Muslims when they were in Ash-Sham, specifically in Palestine, Ta'un or Umwas. When it hit, and we said about 25,000 of the believers, many of the companions, thousands of the great companions died in that plague. One of them was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Actually, his family, most of his children died in this plague. And they died before him. And he was thankful. And he was trusting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point that as he was taking his last breath, the news came to him about the death of his own children. Yet he remained content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote upon him. And when he was asked about this, he said, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the promise of Allah. I believe in the decree of Allah. And I know that we are in safe hands regardless of what happens to us. This takes away the panic. It takes away this panic. This pandemic is real. And it's obvious, regardless where it came from. We don't have the tools, as average human beings here, we don't have the tools to know exactly where it is. And if you go on social media, you go on YouTube or surf the net, you will find so many theories as to where it came from and what is the point behind it. But you will find no evidence. And the more you read, the more confused you get. But alhamdulillah, this is not the test. The test is not knowing where it came from. The test is how do we handle it. And this takes me to the second point. That how we handle issues of this world. And this has to do with a very important principle that is known in Islamic theology. And this is the issue of al-aql. Which we usually translate as intellect, which is an inaccurate translation. Al-aql is sense. Your sanity. Our ability to make sense of things and understand and comprehend things. That's al-aql. And oftentimes when we speak about the aql, we put it on the opposite side of revelation. But in Islam, it doesn't have to be so. In Islam, the faculty of thinking and comprehension, our cognitive ability, our intellectual capacity is a gift and an asset from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us first understand ourselves, understand our own nature that Allah created us upon, which is our fitrah, and understanding the revelation that comes to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which contains guidance as to how to deal with this world. So we can orient ourselves correctly in this life. And then to study the details of this life. Whatever situation we are in. There are, believe it or not, there are people who are searching. Who are looking, trying to look into the Quran and the Sunnah. Read between the lines. Try to find a narration that talks about the coronavirus. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We are abusing the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The heritage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because many Muslims are asking, how do we handle this pandemic? You have to give me an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. And you know, there is one of the great Muslim scholars, Abu Ya'la al-Farra' rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the same sort of similar statement was narrated from Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala. Again, the statement reads as follows: إِنِّي لَا أُشْفِقُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِثْلَ مَا أُشْفِقُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ يَطْلُبُ الْعِلْمَ وَلَا فَهْمَ لَهُ. That I don't feel pity as much as I feel it towards a person who seeks the knowledge, who seeks to the knowledge, read the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the Hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, yet they lack understanding, they lack comprehension. They act towards the knowledge they learn as a machine, as a robot. That's not how we handle the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when Allah gave us this intellectual capacity, this aql, this is the tool where we understand the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah, and all the guidelines within it, so it gives us a way to orient ourselves in this world, then we look into this world and we study whatever phenomenon we're dealing with. We have to study, we have to understand, even a fatwa. When a scholar gives a fatwa, it's not like the scholar looks into the Quran and the Sunnah, then he gives a fatwa. It's haram to do so. The imam or the scholar or the faqih, when there is a situation, they have to study it thoroughly. And if they do not understand it very well from the experts, they cannot give a fatwa, no matter what is their level of knowledge from the Quran and the Sunnah. And there's a very clear principle that is very well known in Islamic fiqh, that you cannot give a fatwa about an issue without understanding this issue inside out. This is why the scholars say, الحكم على الشيء فرع عن تصوره. الحكم على الشيء فرع عن تصوره. You can't make a judgment upon something, meaning a religious fatwa, a religious decree. You can't pass a fatwa on a situation or a condition or a phenomenon without understanding it, comprehending it. Otherwise, this is an abuse of the religion. And you find Muslims today who say, forget about all of this medicine, forget about all of these, you know, precautions that governments and health ministries are actually advocating and calling people to abide by. Forget about all of that. This is all nonsense. Just take the black seed oil. Or just take some olive oil. Or take 7 dates in the morning and that's it. Since when we are abusing our religion to that extent? And then you find some people as well quoting one hadith and forgetting other hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith collected in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La adwa wa la tiyara." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he negates, basically what the meaning is, he negates the impact. Literally, I'm talking about the literal meaning, the surface meaning, which could be easily misunderstood. It seems as though the Prophet ﷺ is saying there is no such thing called infection. And many people read it this way. And that's the problem again, which we brought to your attention many times over and over again. You cannot study or learn one hadith and think you can issue an fatwa. Or you can know what it is, or what the situation is, what Islam says about this thing. You can't. Because the way the Quran and the Sunnah function is that they all function together. You have to bring them together. You have to take the collective meaning. You can't take a meaning from a single text. It's haram. It's wrong. It's false. It's an abuse of the revelation. Yet we have another hadith actually in Sahih Muslim. This is the end of the hadith, which is the second part. The Prophet ﷺ says, وَفِرَّ مِنَ الْمَجْذُومِ فِرَارَكَ مِنَ الْأَسَدِ. And run away from a person who has an infectious disease as you would run away from a beast of a lion or a lion. Is there a contradiction? The Prophet ﷺ seems to be saying there's no infection. Then he says, when there's a person, he's talking about judham. Judham is a disease where it actually eats up the skin of the person. And it's contagious. It's infectious. Then the Prophet ﷺ, in the same statement, he says, when you see a person with an infectious disease, run away from them as you would run from a lion. What does that mean? The Prophet ﷺ was making a clear statement. He wasn't negating infection as such, but what he was saying, that infection does not explain fully the spread of disease. It's one of the causes of the spread of a disease. But it doesn't mean if you come in contact with a person who's diseased, it's not 100% that you're going to catch the illness. It is one of the causes. And if there is something, a preventive, something that prevents the cause from taking its full course, then you would not get the infection. For example, you have a strong immune system. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. He's saying that infection does not explain the spread of the disease completely. It's one of the causes. And then he says in the second part of the statement that yes, you should respond to this kind of cause with precaution. Avoid the source of the disease. Simple, makes sense. But again, when we want to put religion revelation and the aql, the understanding and sense, on the opposite side of a spectrum, that's when we go wrong. Islam revelation and pure logic, correct guided logic, cannot contradict each other. Impossible. It's impossible. That's a tool that Allah gave us in order to process information. And part of this information comes from revelation, from the Quran and the Sunnah. Part of this information is when you're dealing with a disease or with a social problem or with any kind of an issue, is that you also need some data from the situation, from the ground. Otherwise, you can't solve a problem without knowing the intricacies of the situation. Because some people think that the religion means you disengage from the world and then from your ivory tower you can give magical solutions that solve all problems. That's insanity. The companions radiallahu anhum, and before them the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholars throughout the time, they would not issue a fatwa about something without understanding it fully from the experts. That's how we deal with issues. That's how Islam deals with issues. And that's how today we should deal with this whole concept of the spread of the coronavirus. But what empowers us is that we know whatever happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of us. Even through death, even through illness and disease, yes, Allah takes care of us. But we can only judge things at their surface level. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows more than that. So sometimes what seems to be bad and harmful and painful is actually good for us in the grand scheme of things. So all what we need to do is trust. We are in safe hands. Allah takes care of us. He knows what He's doing. And yes, the same disease could be a punishment for some people and could be a blessing for other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes causes innocent people to die. Why? Because He wants to elevate their status. Allah says in the Quran, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explained why in the battle of Uhud, He allowed some innocent Muslims to be killed because of the mistake of another Muslim. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah wants to take shuhada, meaning Allah wants to take people and elevate them to such a high level. And how would you reach that level? It has to be through martyrdom. So let's, you know, leave things in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we can do, at the same time as the Prophet ﷺ says, run away from a person who's afflicted with an infectious disease, is to avoid, because it's a cause. It's one of the causes. So you should take precautions. So whatever the authorities in this country, whatever they advise us with, we should follow that. And we should be concerned. You might be a healthy person with a strong immune system. But the problem with this disease is not about the individuals. It's about the collective. Because if it spreads, it's going to get to people who are weak, whose immune system is compromised. And they are at a great risk. So sometimes, yes, you might avoid certain things. Social distancing is actually, as the experts say, here we take the words of the experts, is actually a very important thing to do. And this is actually what the Muslims did with the plague that happened in Palestine, Ta'un wa Amwas. At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, social distancing. And if the authorities here get to the point where they say gatherings are prohibited, or do not shake people's hands, or do not hug people, and so on and so forth, then we are supposed to abide by that. Yes, you could believe in conspiracy theories, that's up to you, but don't force it on other people. We are supposed to obey what the authorities and the experts say with regards to these things. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفر. With regards to how we should handle the situation now and the risks. And again, as the spread of the virus is very unpredictable, still until now, there are so many things still unknown about this virus. And that's what's causing the panic. You know, the Assembly of Jurists of North America, they have put together an advice and a fatwa as to how to handle these things. And this would shed some light as well on how a masjid and how Muslim congregations should, you know, deal with the situation. I will just read their fatwa quickly, inshallah, and this should be enough. And I will summarize in some parts. Basically, they said the Assembly of Muslim Jurists in America have received several inquiries, etc. So they say, first, concerning the management of the Islamic centers, it is not permissible for the masjids and Islamic centers to suspend the congregational prayers and Jumu'ah because of the spread of the virus in the United States, and it applies obviously here, unless the local public health authorities in a particular city advise the suspension of services at the houses of worship and avoidance of large public gatherings. In the event of the development, the masjid management should comply with such instructions. This would be sufficient excuse to pray Jumu'ah at home as Dhuhr until the restriction is removed. It is permissible for the masjid management to demand those with flu symptoms to wear masks during the congregational prayers. It is also permissible to assign a room for them or a designated area in the prayer hall and to advise them to avoid handshaking with the other worshippers and follow the proper precautions to prevent transmission of the disease. The masjid management should follow the updates that are periodically issued by the public health agencies, etc., and comply with their instructions. Second, concerning the Muslim public, the permissibility of missing Jumu'ah and congregational prayers out of fear of the disease depends on several variables. As for the daily congregational prayers, the matter is simpler, since they are not obligatory according to the majority. The majority of those who considered them obligatory did not demand their performance at the masjid. As for the Jumu'ah, It is not permissible for adult men who are otherwise required to attend it to miss it, except in the case of justifiable, not conjectural fear. What matters in this regard is the instructions of the public health authorities. If they advise the avoidance of all public gatherings, then the epidemic has reached a level making that fear justifiable. As for the higher risk groups, such as old people and those with chronic diseases, they should follow the advice of their primary healthcare providers. They are most entitled to concessions. People with symptoms of the disease, which are like those of flu, should avoid coming to the masjid if they suspect that they may be infected until they check with their healthcare providers and ensure they are not. This is because the harm of spreading this virus is much greater than that of bothering people with the odor of garlic. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who eats off this plant, garlic, should not come near our masjid and should not bother us with the odor of garlic. And we ask Allah for the safety and well-being of everyone. So this is in brief, and anyone who wants to check it, inshallah, the masjid will put it up on the website. And you can just check AMJA, A-M-J-A, the Assembly of Jurists of North America, inshallah, and they will have this there. And just for the safety of everyone, as I said, based on the instructions of the authorities and the experts, social distancing as much as possible. And here, no one says, hey, in Islam, we're supposed to be kind to one another and hug one another. Okay, this is not the time to talk about this. And precaution in these instances, even if you are of good health, is actually for other people who are at a greater risk and a higher risk. So let's be considerate, even if we are not convinced. Let's be considerate. Let's be respectful of this. Let's appreciate, because most of us make decisions now based on speculations, based on our own understanding, and there's no shortage of those. Everyone has their own theory about this. But when it comes to how we handle this, let's follow the experts and whatever they say, whether we agree with what they say or not. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of us and everyone from this disease. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat